I'm going to start out, and feel free to cry if you want to. We're going to start out with the different pictures of the different churches we've been in 27 years. The first picture is, there it is, boys. There it is. Right here is the very first church secretary. Maria Butterfield was our very first church secretary. Give her a round of applause. We'd have church on Sunday. That's 27 years ago. We'd have church on Sunday, and then she'd meet with me on Monday, and we'd talk about all the people. How many of you have spent time in that building? Raise your hand. The McGeegans are here. And here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Frank, were you at the very first church service? That's what I thought. Right there. Frank McGeegan was at the very first church service. I'm just going to point everybody out. You came probably the second or third one, didn't you, Jerry? Y'all met us at a Full Gospel Businessmen's dinner. You remember those? You go back to those at all, Al? That's for your time. That was, you saw us and you saw how excited we acted. And you said, I got to find out what this is all about. So Guy and Coco, y'all were never in this building. And so then you brought your reprobate son with you. Hey, we're going to have fun today, so we're going to have fun. He did the smartest thing he's ever done in his life, and he married Becky Federico. Amen. Right there. That's what he did. And I'm still shocked. Who's this young lady right here, the model? My gosh. We had a lot of fun. I could tell story after story after story. We went into this building, and I realized that we weren't going to grow it all if we didn't get a children's thing going. So Millie Haga, the dear sweet Millie Haga, took over Children's Church for us, and that allowed us to grow a little bit. The very first service, we had 40 people. The next Sunday, we had 12. Yes, amen. And y'all were in that building, right? Y'all were there. 40, and then we had 12. And then we built it up to where we had 40 or 50 about every Sunday. We were busting at the seams. We went everywhere looking for another building. And so finally, we found out about a metal building on 102 North 2nd Street. There it is. Oh, isn't that pretty? My gosh. We moved into this building on 102 North 2nd Street. We remodeled it for $20,000. $20,000. What was that construction company? Yeah, Kamrowski Construction. Remodeled it for $20,000. The fun part about that building was every time it rained, the floors flooded. And so how many of you were at this building? How many of you? This is where Bryant Booker and his lovely wife Leslie showed up as soldiers from Fort Huachuca. He came one Sunday. He came the next Sunday. And the third Sunday, he shook my hand and he said, this is where we're going to go to church. And by gosh, he meant it. Huh? Yeah. And so Guy and Coco, you were working for Office Smart, weren't you?
Yep.
And so you were doing business with me through Office Smart, and you told me that Guy was bored where he was going to church. And you wanted to know if we could start coming to church there. Did we know each other before that, or was that how we knew each other? That was a very, and you were scared. Tell everybody, you were scared of me, weren't you? Yeah, she was the bookkeeper and I was the inside. She was the inside accountant. I was the outside accountant, and I didn't like some of the accounting they were doing. But, you know, sometimes you got to fake it. Amen. And then Clint Eastwood showed up. Now, the funniest part about this, I'll tell you another thing about this. So we got this church. And we put a big sign up top where you could see all over Frye Boulevard. When you drove down Frye Boulevard, you could see Life in Christ Church. Well, the city of Sierra Vista called me and said, we don't permit rooftop signs. You got to take it down. So I got in touch with Judge, man, I can't think of his name. He passed away, I think. Kermie, Judge Kerms. I got a hold of Judge Kerms, and we had a meeting with the city, and he was the arbitrator, and he ruled in our favor. But after we moved out of here, they made them take that sign down. So they didn't know the same people I knew. Y'all don't understand the advantage you had of having me know some people. This is where John and Maria Whalen came aboard. Through their ministry and all the people they knew, we were running 75 people out of there consistently, pretty consistently, And so we recognized that we needed another spot. Everybody cool with this? Frank, you happy with this stuff? You like what you're hearing? So we were running 75 people here on a regular basis. So we knew we were going to need another spot. And so another businessman that I was doing taxes with owned this property that we're on right now. He owned, him and two other guys that were mucky mucks in this town. They owned this lot, and he came to me one day and he says, you know, we own this corner lot here. He said, we'd be willing to sell it to you if you want to buy it. And I said, yeah, I'll buy that piece of property. So we bought it over time. We paid, I think it's $125,000, something like that. And I mean, I saw the potential for this location. I mean, my gosh, corner lot right here across from City Hall, across from the soccer fields. And, you know, as much as everybody liked me, I just knew, you know, just go ahead and build it. But we had a great church. So we bought the lot. Go back to the metal building. I want to give credit everywhere where credit's due. So in this metal building, one Sunday, a lady came to church by the name of Janice Lane. Anybody recollect her besides, okay, Janice Lane. In this building, we had a minister working with us named Todd Poor. He was a fine, wonderful man of God. He was. His mother was crazy, but that happens all the time. I mean, that's just a normal thing, all right? Thank God you got a sane mom. But he was a wonderful man, and he had the Holy Spirit, and he was fired up. And she came to church one Sunday, and he prayed for that woman, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the women had to literally take her out to the car. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the women had to literally take her out to the car and help her to the car. So she started coming regular. She got sick, and I didn't know it. I didn't see her for like 2 or 3 weeks or months or whatever. Anyway, she got sick in California, and so she chartered a plane to bring her back to Sierra Vista. And she contacted me and told me that she'd been ill, and would I come to see her? And of course, I went and visited her. I was doing pretty much regular pastoral stuff. I mean, Maria'd always get me to pray for somebody. I was always going to some hospital praying for somebody because it's her heart. But she said, "Will you come out and pray with me?" And I did, and I fellowshiped with her. And to speed the story up, she gets diagnosed with lung cancer because she smoked like a chimney. I mean, she did. She did. Bless her heart. And so I had to take her to some chemotherapy treatments. I picked her up one day. She came out to the thing. She got in the car, and she lit a cigarette up. She said, "I don't want to hear one word." I'll never forget that. She said, "I don't want to hear one word about me smoking." She said, "I've got lung cancer anyway, and no sense quitting now." I said, "Smoke them if you got them, but do me one favor. Roll the window down." So I took her to chemotherapy treatments a couple of times, and we kind of lost touch a little bit. And she passed away. And she had a boy, I don't know if it was a boyfriend or an assistant. I don't know what it was, that lived with her. Well, you remember his name? Al. Me and Teresa are living on Briarwood, and we hear a knock on the door, and it's Al. We found out Janice died. I will tell you this. It was one of the weirdest things I've had to do in my career. I had to go in with her daughter and look at Janice's corpse. And her daughter wanted to say some stuff to her. And that was weird, Al. That was weird. I'm in there, man. I'm like, "Can I get out of here? What do I got to do?" And she had a conversation with her and told her that she never liked her in life, but, you know, that somehow or another, you know, anyway. So we knew she died. I was in the morgue with her. So Al knocked on the door and said, "Listen, I'm coming by to tell you that Janice has left half of her estate to you guys." And I'm like, I knew she had some money because when I found out she chartered a plane to come from California, her husband made money in the flyer business in California. But he said, "I'm just telling you right now, the daughter's not going to be happy about it." And I said, "Well, you know, we'll just see how it plays out." Sure enough, just to make a long story short, we ended up getting $400,000. We got $200,000 cash, and if anybody's been at PDS Golf Course, there's a house across the street from the 6th tee box. I'm very familiar with that. Do you know that, Dwayne? I'm very familiar. We got half of that house, so it sold. Anyway, long story short, we ended up with $400,000. So I took the $400,000, paid off the land note, which I think somewhere in the hundred thousands, and we had about 200-some thousand in the bank. So we went to the bank and asked if we could build a church. And they said, well, with the land and the money you have in the bank, that'll make a nice down payment. So they financed $619,000. You with me? So I had to come up, because this building, this church, the land and the church was $1.1 million. All right? So I found $200,000 from some customers of mine. And so we were able to get the resources to build the building. So that's what led to this next building here, Life in Christ Church. What's that sign say? Oh, we were having Quest for Authentic Manhood back then. We were a full-service church, man. We were doing it all. And so we get over here to this building. I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to tell any bad. I'm just trying to tell the story. And they weren't going to let us move in. Oh, I'll tell you something else. So they weren't going to let us move in because we didn't have the trees and the landscaping. So I had to scrounge up and find $75,000 for trees and bushes and rock. And I'm telling you, Brian, you remember that? You were part of that, weren't you? We had to do all that ourselves on Saturdays. Don's Excavation dug the whatever you deal. Spread all the rock. I remember your dad run over the gas line. Was it? Oh, did he? Oh, that was the metal building? Oh, yeah, they called me. They said, you got to do something. It wasn't blue staked or something. Yeah, so anyway, we got over here, so we had to put $75,000 worth of landscaping, and I had a handshake deal with the city. I'd have it done in a year, or they weren't going to let us move in. So the biggest drawback to this was that it was being built across from City Hall, and it's no lie, no exaggeration. And me and Teresa were really, to be honest, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, we were the only ones that were involved in it. Everybody, I mean, our whole career, you guys are working people, and so we had to be involved in every aspect. And I'm telling you, the city would walk across the street and tell us things we were doing wrong. We couldn't do it anymore. Anyway, we got in here on March the 20th, 2005. So how many of you, this is the only church you know about. That's James Taylor. Mary, that's you, right? Raise your hand. Jordan, that's the only church. That ain't the only church you know about, son. That's the only church you remember. But you was a peeing diaper baby. Well, he was born in 2002, so you go to the metal building. Mary, raise your hand. Is this the only, Becky, this is the only church in, John, all right, and John came aboard through the testimony of Donnie and Becky. Keith came aboard because I got him out of a Social Security problem, didn't I? Did I do a good job or not? I got you. Oh, they were going to cheat the man. The man, somebody used his social, they reported income on his Social Security number, and they took his Social Security away from him. But I will say this, the Social Security Administration, of all the government agencies to work with, they're the best. They'll actually talk to you in Douglas, Arizona. The rest of them are pitiful. So Mary, this is the only facility you know about, right? James Taylor listened to me on the radio, and like what he heard, and he came on a Wednesday night, right, to check it out, liked it, and then you and Keon got married in this church, right? Anybody else? Did we marry anybody else in here? How many people have been baptized through Life in Christ Ministries? Stand up. Raise up. Raise your stand up. Jazz, you got baptized? Jamin, I never baptized you. Get up, son. I'm going to get a water faucet. You ain't never been baptized by me? And neither of you, Jeremy? Oh, we got to get that fixed. All right. Of the people that are standing up that got baptized, how many of you got baptized in the horse trough? You did? Cheryl, I got you in the horse trough? Frankie? How many of you got the swimming pool at my house? Yeah. Jordan got the swimming pool. Jazz, you got the swimming pool? You guys were in the horse trough. Okay. All right. Frank and Doreen got married in the first church. Wow. I told you, get the tissue out. Get the tissue out. So we got over here, and our first service over here, we had 90 people. And everybody told me that we were going to bust at the seams. That absolutely, get ready, you're going to bust at the seams. Any arrogance I had is gone. I can teach the Bible. I have the ability to teach the Bible, and people that hear me teach the Bible recognize that I can teach the Bible. So they just thought, you know, we'd fill it up. So we had 90 people, and we started running somewhere around 100 people on a regular basis in here. Now, I was too stupid to realize that that was successful. I was. If I had 100, I wished I had 200. Now, I understand that that was a character flaw in me. But anyway, I don't want to talk bad news or anything like that. But anyway, the people that were leading our music, specifically the spouse, wasn't doctrinally aligned with us, never had been doctrinally aligned with us, and announced to me and Teresa that she no longer wanted to go to church here. But, you know, if you need to have a banquet for us, go ahead. True story. And again, they've turned out to be some of my best clients. I mean, in my opinion, there's not a more quality person than John Whalen. Absolutely, don't forget it. And we love Amanda like one of our own, but we had a church split, and I didn't handle it well. It took me completely by shock. So we struggled for quite a while. And of course, everybody that was associated with them left with them, and so we had to start over. We did all right. We handled it, but I could have done better. There's no doubt about it. And we ended up going merrily along, and then we had, I don't want to talk too much about this, but anyway, we got a new group came in, and basically that was a mistake on my part because I knew that they weren't truly committed to the message. They weren't truly committed to the doctrine. They just wanted a place to be able to do their music, and you can't do that. In my opinion, you can't do that. I talked to Brian about this last week. The greatest mystery to me is that in 27 years, nobody's walked through that door, stayed long enough to hear the message, believed in the message, and then volunteered to be able to do something for us. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, but I'm going to explain it to you. I got a reason for it. May not like the reason, but I got a reason for it. So anyway, we got this group to come in, and of course the band was like 5 or 6 people, wasn't it? And so the largest group of people we had in here was 153. We had 153. 153 people will fill the parking lot up. Amazing. So that lasted, it looks like we were always on a 7-year thing. The waitlist lasted 7 years, and then in 2012, was that it? No, 14. But listen, I'll be forever grateful to Pete Wilkins. And Pete Wilkins was a quality guy. He just was a likable, quality guy, but he marched to his own beat, much like me. But I will be forever grateful to him because he's the first person that planted the seeds of grace into my heart and into my mind. He planted that into my heart and mind, and I'll be forever grateful for it because that's the revolution and the revival we're in right now. We're in the grace revolution. Amen? But anyway, some lady came in here and wanted to be part of the group, and anyway, it all blew up, and I just made a decision I wasn't going to deal with it anymore. And so I told them that, and they quit. So then we decided, we all kind of got tired, all the main core people, we just got tired of the same circle. See, I could bring somebody else in. We could have kept the building. We could have brought somebody else in, and you can run 100 people easy. Easy. Because they know people, and they know people, and they know people. But I want people to be here because they want to know what the message is, and they believe in the message. That's what I want. And we just got tired. I'm not going to lie to you. I got tired. And I began to realize that with technology and the resources that are available to us, I began to realize that I could reach just as many people through the radio and the internet as I could by the amount of people that were coming. Because we are talked bad about in the Christian world in Sierra Vista. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's not paranoia. We are talked bad about, and I'm going to explain to you why. It's because of one thing that we tell people. It's one thing. One thing that we tell people, well, that and the fact that a lot of ministers and churches were jealous of me and they didn't feel like that you could be a successful businessman and make money apart from the church, I didn't get rich from the church. I put most of my resources into the church, but I think there was a little bit of jealousy going on in that respect. But the central problem is what I'm going to share with you today. But anyway, we're happy. We've kind of figured out what our ministry is. We really have. And since I've figured that out, it's really made me energized. When I got hooked in with Andrew Womack and his messages, it energized me. I'll never forget what your husband said to me one day before I got a hold of Grace. I remember he said to me, he said, "You're stuck." He came up to me and he says, you're stuck. And you know what? He was absolutely right. I was out of ammunition. I'd told everybody I knew about faith, and I was out of ammunition. But then I found out that it's not just faith, but it's also grace. I saw the enormity of what Jesus Christ did for us. I saw it. That wasn't a man hanging on a cross. That was God's holy, divine Son of God with sinless blood that was spilled for the remission of the sins of the whole world. And he was the only one that could do it. And that re-energized me. And I got my energy back. I did. And I quit talking about anybody. I mean it. Sure, I don't talk about anybody. I want to so bad sometimes. But I quit talking about people. I did. The Lord told me, he said, son, you got to quit talking about people. You got to quit it. You're going to destroy yourself. And I said, all right, man, I don't want to do that. Anyway, we've had fun. And I want to share with you today what I believe has been the great divider about our ministry. So I've printed out new versions of the statement of faith because there's some verbiage in here that we wanted to change up a little bit, better worded, better written. And so just full disclosure, the first couple of things on here I took from an Assemblies of God website. Number one, the Bible, we believe it is the inspired and only infallible and authoritative written word of God. Everybody, if you agree with that, just say amen. We don't believe that there's anybody in the earth, to include the King of England, the Queen of England, or the Pope, that is divine. There's nobody divine, only Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is Jesus Christ manifested in Word. Can I get an amen? Second thing is we believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bible teaches it. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Join the I Don't Understand Club. But it's true. God is one God in three persons. That's the great mystery. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're one. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his virgin birth, in his sinless life, in his miracles, in his vicarious and atoning death, in his bodily resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of God. This would be a good thing just to take home and look these scriptures up. We believe that people need a Savior. We believe in the total depravity of man. Everybody listen to that? Very important. We believe in the total depravity of man. What's that mean? That means that man is totally incapable of saving himself. And if I could teach this on a regular basis, or if I could get people to understand that, that's why most of what we do in church is wrong. Because we're still trying to please God by our own efforts. And your own efforts will never make you qualified in the sight of God. Only the effort of Jesus Christ is what qualifies you. And you have to learn to accept the grace of God. You have to learn to accept the gift of God. You can't get to heaven by what you're doing. You have to get to heaven by what you believe. There you go. Amen. We believe the only way to salvation is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We believe we are saved by grace through faith. We believe that God's great love for mankind motivated him to send God the Son into the world and be the atoning sacrifice for all sins ever committed, past, present, and future. Now, I thought when I heard that the first time through the grace preachers, I thought there were only a handful of people that said that, but we go to Sun Valley Church when we're in Phoenix, and those people tell those people the same thing. See, all your past, all your present, and all your future sins are forgiven. You got to accept it. See, it better be true because every one of us at some point down the line is going to sin again. You listening? Amen. So Jesus doesn't have to get back on the cross over and over. He died one time. All right. Faith in Jesus alone grants us all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Our human spirits are reborn and made righteous and have within them all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's a good place for a shout. Man. By the way, I wrote that one. This is coming right out of my heart. Listen to this. This is really important. The free gift of eternal life generates good works. Good works do not generate eternal life. Oh, my goodness. You got to see, anybody that believes the opposite, that's religion. See, anybody that believes that good works grant you eternal life, you are bound by religion, and you will fall short. You won't make it. There's only one person that could pay for the sins of the whole world, and that's Jesus. If you don't let Jesus pay for your sins, let me say it to you like this. If you don't let Jesus pay for your sins, then you have to pay for them. Nobody wants to do that. No, the great transfer, he bore our sins. He took our sicknesses, and we simply believe what he did for us by faith through grace. Do you see that? All right, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues. We are not ashamed of talking about speaking in tongues. Every born-again person ought to be spirit-filled and a tongue talker. How many of you in this building received the gift of the Holy Spirit as a result of coming to Life in Christ Church? Raise your hand. Oh, my gosh, I love that. James Taylor. Y'all might as well raise your hand. What y'all got is a stuck tongue. That's all. I can't get you to release the thing. You keep thinking God's going to fill your mouth up. You got a manshantala mahaksatala mahasa. Don't worry about what everybody thinks about it. This dear lady here got in her car and said, "I believe he's telling the truth," and she started talking Hawaiian or something. I don't know what it was. Yeah, that is so cool, James. Maria, really? Praise the Lord. Frank McGeegan, Becky, John, Keith, hallelujah, thank you. Man, I say we cut the cake right now. Listen, we believe that God created man as a free moral agent. Y'all see where I'm at? He has a God-given right to choose good or evil. We believe God gave man authority over all he created. We believe that through deception, the devil stole that authority, and that he, the devil, became the god of this world. We believe, listen to this, this is me, I wrote this. We believe all sin, sickness, and imperfection can be traced back to Satan. We believe that God is perfect and that there is no darkness in him at all. We believe that the life of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospels, clearly demonstrates God's goodness, Satan's evil, and man's ability to choose who they will serve. Praise God. If I haven't done anything else in my life, putting this stuff on paper is something. Again, all the glory goes to God. All the glory goes to Jesus. I didn't know this stuff. I got it all by the Holy Spirit. I got it all by reading that book right there, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, here we go. I'm going to read the section to you right now that has caused people not to want to come here. And it's the most bizarre thing in the world, but it's the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me God. We do not believe in the concept of the sovereignty of God as taught in most Christian churches today. They believe that God, listen to this, they believe that God is in control of everything, and ultimately whatever happens to us is under his dominion. We believe this doctrine violates the integrity of the Word of God. God made man with a free will, and ultimately our life is the sum total. Listen to this. Ultimately, our life is the sum total of decisions we made or decisions someone else made for us. Now, I get y'all in a setting like this, and you read that sentence, and you say, "My gosh, that makes a whole lot of sense." And then you get out there in Christian religion, and it's so prevalent. How many of you have ever heard the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren? How many of you have ever read that book? I read it. I think, and I may be wrong on this, but I think it's the best-selling Christian book ever apart from the Bible, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. He devotes one entire chapter in that book telling people that every single thing that happens to you, every single thing that happens to you, good or bad, has to filter through God. And that God is sovereign in all situations, health, sickness, death, divorce, strife, war, calamity. It all has to funnel through God or God, because God is the one that controls everything. When I got to that chapter, I folded the book up and had no more interest in reading it, because that is pure garbage. And I'm going to show you, a portion of scripture that you either believe the Bible or you believe that nonsense. And all that is an excuse. So I'm going to put up on the screen. Not yet, Jordan. I put this on the screen, and I want to say this to you. Everybody, I'm having a good time. See, I could teach. I could literally, Brian, I'm not kidding you on this. I could teach that statement of faith every Sunday. I could take that statement of faith and teach it every Sunday and go another direction with it because it's just what I believe. It's what's in me. I can't help it. No, so the phrase is up there, Jordan. Y'all were here for my Twitter X thing. We don't know how it works, but this little blip I put up on Twitter has had 74 views, and I have no idea what that means. All I know is every time you click on it, it counts you as a view, and I clicked on it two or three times, so we're probably more like, and Brian clicked on it two or three times, so we're probably around 50 clicks. It's kind of like my dad at the prison. He was a prison chaplain the last part of his life, statewide prison chaplain. And he'd have church services on Sunday, and he would count anybody that looked through the window. I said, Daddy, how many did you have? Oh, he said, I had at least 35. And I said, Daddy, I was in there with you, and if you had 15, oh, he said, son, you got to count the people that look in the window. So I'm going to count everybody that rides by here, and they wanted to come. They just didn't have the courage. All right. I wrote this. We believe the assigning of evil to God was birthed from the mind of Satan. And I give you a scripture and verse on it. We believe, I'm kind of wanting to get Martin Luther King like. We believe that all men are created equal. We believe it causes people to not accept responsibility for their actions or the actions of others. That's what's really going on here. You can sugarcoat it all you want, but nobody wants to deal with what's wrong. Nobody. Everything that's gone wrong in my life, either I caused it or somebody around me caused it. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. Most of the time I caused it. And, I don't take any pleasure in that, but bless God. I go to God and say, you know what? Here I am again. He said, I know it. And usually the word always, to me, always is, you know, I'm not going to be able to help you much if you don't keep your mouth shut. And I'm like, I understand, but it's so hard. I said, you see who the president is? We believe it causes people to not accept responsibility for their actions or the actions of others. Furthermore, it eliminates their ability to use faith toward God in order to quench the evil darts that are actually coming from Satan. Right here, this lady has stuck with me and put money in the offering basket for 27 years because you believe every word that's written on that thing. How many of you believe that? That's the reason why you put the money in the offering basket. That's the reason why you haven't deserted me. That's the reason, and me, I mean the ministry. That's the reason. And the reason why people deserted us is because they don't want to buy that. They don't want to believe that. They want to have somebody to blame. Probably one of the most quoted verses of the scripture I use is that thing Adam said to God. The man Adam, that woman, he said, God came to her and said, oh man, you guys have screwed up. I can tell you're hiding from me. You're hiding in a bush. He said, what happened? Adam said, I take full responsibility. I'll let that rotten, stinking snake talk me into this. Is there any way we can get out of it? He's a deceiving rascal. But I know you're greater than he is. I know there has to be a way we can get out of this. That's what Adam told him, right? Now, Adam looked at him and said, you know, it was that woman that you gave to be with me. Well, a chapter before, he was all crying because all he had around him was lions and tigers and bears. He says, I need something besides that. Can't you create something I like? So he created woman, and he said, oh, my gosh, there she is. God bless America. Now he's blaming the woman, and if that don't get it, he blames God for giving the woman to him. How many times in our hearts and minds have we said, God, why are you doing this to me? Come on, don't say anything. Everybody knows. It's human nature. It's human nature. I've gone through some stuff, and my mind keeps wanting to say, man, why am I going through this? But it's not God putting me through this. Righteousness, joy, and peace is in the Holy Spirit. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Brethren, I pray above all else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Can I get an amen? Amen. I was reading my Bible one day this week, and I do it quite often. I think it's important you know that. And I got over to the book of Ephesians, and the Lord directed me over there. And I don't need my Bible. I'm holding it for effect. But I got over to the book of Ephesians. He directed me over there. And when I got over there, I knew exactly why he directed me there. Because if you can take these portions of Scripture in the book of Ephesians alone, you will destroy the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It will destroy the doctrine of the sovereignty of God just by these verses of Scripture. And it will also let me point out to you what I've learned in 27 years that I didn't know at the beginning. So let's go together. Everybody ready? Got verses ready? Here we go. Ephesians 6:10. Let's see if this doctrine lines up with what we believe. Or let's see if if the sovereignty of God doctrine lines up with this verse, with these verses. Let's see which one fits. So he says, finally, brethren, finally. Of course, whenever Paul says finally, you know there's at least another chapter coming. Heck, he preached one night till midnight and a fellow fell out of the window and died and he had to go raise him from the dead. I can't get anybody to stay here past 9:30. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now listen, anybody go back to English 101? What's the understood subject of that sentence? You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God won't do it for you. He's give it to you, but you got to make the decision to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Everybody tracking? Verse 11. Put on, who's the understood subject of this sentence? Put on the whole armor of God. Who's got to do the putting on? Who's got to do the putting on? Who's got the responsibility? I don't want the responsibility. I want it to be God's fault. I want it to be my wife's fault. I want it to be Joe Biden's fault. Oh, I do too. I want it to be my rotten kids' fault. My kids aren't rotten, but I'm just using it for an example. I want it to be James Taylor's fault. No, you got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the, most translations, I like this word better, the schemings of the devil. We don't know what wiles means. That's an English word. The schemings of the devil. Again, who is the adversary? Who is the adversary? Who is the adversary? Don't be afraid. We're all in it together. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now notice this, but against principalities, against powers. Listen to this now. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Can you make that any plainer? Where's the darkness coming from? Where's the sickness coming from? Where's the strife coming from? Where's the lust coming from? Where's the cheating coming from? You know, it's kind of like the kids. The answer always after every sermon was, what was the sermon about? They'd say, Jesus. When you hear me preach, what's the answer about anything bad? Y'all see that? Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of, what? What does that say that? Wickedness in the, notice where it's at, in the heavenly places, in the atmosphere. Three chapters over, he's called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The problem that we have is we don't understand the kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the Son of God's love and there's the kingdom of darkness. You get out of the kingdom of darkness by joining up with the kingdom of the Son of God's love. God's not involved in wickedness and darkness. God sent Jesus to eliminate that out of our lives if we allow it, if we put on the whole armor. Y'all listening to me. Verse 13. Therefore take up, here it is, tells you twice. Therefore take up the whole armor of God. Who's going to take it up? Oh God, just make me do it. Make me have faith. Make me. That's a religious lie. It's already been given to you. It's a free gift. By grace, It came by grace. You receive it by faith. It came by grace. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Has that got anything to do with God? Does that got anything to do with God? No. Is the sovereignty of God a lie?
Yes.
Is the sovereignty of God a lie?
Yes.
Now, don't misunderstand. God's going to have it his way. But he's going to get it through the church. He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So that's why, you know, you talk about him coming back soon, but then you talk about the church and you think, man, I don't know. This church? Amen. And again, from God's perspective, let me finish this. It's all in here. I'll tell it to you like this. And having done all to stand, verse 14. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. Who's doing the new standing? Don't lay in the bed. Don't pull the covers over your head. Don't turn on the TV and watch football all day long like I did. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't watch the Reds get up 9-0 and then lose 13-12. No, don't do that. Put you in a bad mood. Makes you foul. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Where am I going to go to get truth? Right here. Right here. None of the cable channels are going to give you truth. You listening to me? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not something you got to get. It's something you have. It's a gift you received. Philippians says, not having my own righteousness from the law, but having the righteousness which comes from God through faith. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a gift. It's received by faith, and it comes to you by grace. I didn't know that in 1996. Oh, no, I beat people up. I beat them up. I said, get up here. You ain't got enough faith. I'm going to put it in you. I'm going to put that faith in you. Amen. No, you don't have to put faith in a Christian. You already got faith. You already got it. You got the measure of faith. You are righteous. You're at right standing with God. You got to tell the devil you're a liar. I am right standing with God. He'll say, well, what about what you did yesterday? Doesn't matter. All my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 15. And having shod, now listen to this. Oh, I want ministers to hear this. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of wrath. Huh? The gospel of God's going to get you. There's going to come a time when he's going to get you. But when he's going to get them, he ain't going to get me because I'm going to be there with him. Having shod your feet with the preparation of, say this with me, the gospel of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 16. Oh, I love this one. This is so cool. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That verse alone right there dispels the concept of the sovereignty of God. That verse alone tells you the darts are coming, but the darts aren't from heaven. They're from the wicked one. They're from the rulers of the darkness of this age. And we are to combat that and stand against that by taking our shield of faith and quenching all those fiery darts. It's not anything to do with God other than the fact that he gave you everything you need to win. And to be totally fair, the biggest problem we have is most people don't know this. That's the reason why we went to the radio and the internet. I don't have time to turn there, but in Mark's Gospel chapter 12, it says the common people heard Jesus gladly. Now listen, people see me on the golf course, and I'm not always a prime example of Christianity, but I'm telling you, the people out there, there's people out there that listen to me and tell me things they heard on the radio because they're not bound up with religion, and they just hear it. And they just hear it. See? They're not all bound up. And those people wouldn't go to church. You couldn't get them at a church door for all the money in the world. But they'll listen to that because they know me. They've identified with me. I've apologized to the Lord for my failures to be as good a witness as I should be. But I recognize that we can take this information and at least get it out there and bypass the doubt peddling church. Bypass it. I don't want to give it away, but I mean, you experienced this on some level recently, didn't you, Bryant? I think some people think that sometimes I over-exaggerate the severity of this doctrine, but it's deep. It's got foundational depth to it. It's ingrained in everybody's way of thinking. I listened to a Cincinnati Reds game a couple of days ago before they started losing every game. And one of the broadcasters was talking about the fact that one of the players went to speak to a group of kids. And that's a good thing. How many know that's a good thing? He went to speak to a group of kids and encouraged them. And you know what he told them? God loves you. He's in control. And you just need to trust his plan for you. That is hogwash. The devil will destroy you. The devil will destroy you with that attitude. Because you don't have a shield of faith up quenching the fiery darts that aren't coming from God. There's no darkness in God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Somebody said, what about the Old Testament where he killed people? We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. We're New Testament believers. God put all of his wrath on his Son so he could put all of his reconciliation on the world. All the wrath of God has been satisfied at the cross of Calvary. I didn't know that in 1996 like I know it now. And that's what gave me the energy to keep going when there was six of us in here. I think one Sunday we had one. Don Thomas, remember him? That was when we were having two services, though, in fairness. We'd have the what we're doing now, and then we'd have a regular service. And that one service, it was me and James and Don. I gave him everything I knew. Bam! Y'all see that? You see that? It's a violation. It's ingrained in people. That's not what you need. You need to tell people that God loves you. He sent his Son to die for you. And if you'll receive him, he'll give you all the equipment you need to be able to resist and stand against the devil and everything he's bringing in the darkness that's in this world. Amen. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. See, you already have salvation. You already have faith. You already have truth. You already have righteousness. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. If you would meditate on those, don't read them like a Baptist. Don't read them. Oh, my God, I was in a Methodist church. Oh, my God, I was in a Methodist church for a volleyball game. And they've gone all in with this gay pride and this pride stuff. They're all in. They think that's love by accepting that. It's love to tell people that's wrong. Love speaks the truth. Love takes no delight in evil. You don't hate those people. You don't dishonor those people. But you don't promote those people. Praise God. And again, people are going to hear that and be offended. That's why people got up and left. They left. They don't want to hear it. But I'm going to keep telling it. I'm going to keep telling it. And the reason why y'all are here is because y'all believe the same thing. You believe that God is good, that his mercy is everlasting, and that his truth endures for all generations. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like to, when we get done here, I'd like for everybody to come up on the platform. I want up here, I want to take a group picture, if you don't mind. If you don't want to be in the picture, my feelings will not be hurt. I'm just pointing out that we're celebrating 27 years, and we want to honor people that have been here through thick and thin and respected what we're doing and believe in what we're doing, because God is a good God. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus Christ all the glory and honor. Listen, I want to say this to you. Thank you all so much for staying with us and watching me through my immaturity and ignorance and flesh. But I know why you stayed. You believe in what I just talked about today. Amen. You believe in what I just talked about today. Amen. Let's sing this song. It's so beautiful. And then we're just going to dismiss, unless anybody wants some specific prayer, or if you want to get born again, you don't know Jesus, lift that hand up and we'll pray for you. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Real quick, say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For what you did.
For what you did.
I so appreciate
that you died for me.
That you took my place.
That you allowed
the wrath of God
to
be placed on you,
so
that God's righteousness
could
be placed on me.
Oh
my, oh my, that's so beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't know that like I know it now. That's why I love it. Amen.